welcome. Thank you. Man, let's take a moment and from our hearts, let's welcome all of our family, our friends, and locations. Love you. Yeah. Awesome. Man, we love you guys, and I really appreciate if you're visiting one of our locations just for connecting and being a part of Victory Life. Well, I began a new series in our last session entitled Better Together. Better Together, and we're looking at the marriage relationship and how to build healthy marriages. And from healthy marriages comes healthy homes, and from healthy homes comes a healthy church. And when we have a healthy church, we can have an impact in a city. And so this is important for everyone we've seen, and that we all need to understand what the Word of God says about the marriage relationship and dwell together according to knowledge and things of that nature. And I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how you came together. The winds of adversity can blow upon our homes. And if we don't have certain things in place, then your relationship can collapse. And that's not God's plan or God's will. So we're talking about how to endure the storms that come in marriage and overcome. And specifically, we're looking at some anchor lines on how that if we'll secure these seven anchor lines in our home, then no matter what comes against your home, no matter what storm, what problem or crisis or unplanned circumstance. Anybody had an unplanned circumstance happen? Yeah, I was like, where did this come from? And it just shakes you. Well, you need your marriage to be solid so that two are better together, meaning that Sue and I, we've seen, are 10 times stronger together in prayer and in fighting in spiritual warfare than we are alone. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. So there's a synergy that happens in a marriage. There's a unity and a harmony that as we walk through this, you'll see God commands a blessing on that unity between a husband and a wife. And the devil knows this even when the church doesn't. And thereby is the understanding of the assault on marriage today. Because there's no greater union, there's no more powerful union than a husband and a wife dwelling together according to knowledge, giving honor one to another, and praying then together to see things happen. So let's look at these seven anchor lines to a healthy marriage again. And I kind of gave you the illustration of a spider web. And we got a lot of young people that, you know, are nervous about spider webs and it creeps them out and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to soften this for you. So just... Oh, come on, that was good, and you know it. Think of Charlotte's Web and friendly spiders, and this will all work out for all of us, all right? We saw that God has to be in the center of our lives, and Jacob taught a few months ago on priorities, and he shared how that you don't really have, like, God as a top priority, and then your marriage and your children. It doesn't go that way. God is in the center of all of our priorities that rotate around God. So everything comes out of God that becomes an anchor line, and everything goes back to God that becomes an anchor line. And I gave you the story of the spider web in my barn that endured the storm because it had some anchor lines so secure that even though a few broke, the spider endured the storm and was able to connect the other anchor lines. So when I say God at the center of our marriage, what am I talking about? I'm talking about love. God's kind of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. So love is at the center of all these anchor lines. God's kind of love is what binds us together in our marriages, and we develop in God's kind of love in the home. We develop in God's kind of love in marriage, and then that is supposed to spill over now into the church. Into the church. Well, what the devil knows and has done is created all this strife in marriage so that even in church we're bringing in the strife and struggling in our church culture many times. And so the harmony, the love of God in our homes affects every other part of our life. So we'll put love now in the center, and we saw that security was the first anchor line to a healthy marriage. We all need to have that assurance that someone is committed unto us for a lifetime. And that we will be loved and valued for a lifetime. That's what security is. Security doesn't mean we're never going to have a problem. Security with Sue and I means whatever problem comes our way with God's help, together we're going to overcome it. That's security. And God's love is what builds that security, strengthens that security. That's why we talked about unbelievers and believers and how that's not a healthy union because of God's love and the need for God's love in marriage. So the next anchor line is communication. Communication. And man, we could literally spend hours on the subject of communication. You can spend literally, I'm talking about thousands of dollars to go to seminars to learn how to communicate. And then from that seminar, you got to spend thousands of more dollars to figure out what all those words were that they threw out at you so you can communicate. And it almost, and listen to my heart in this. I'm not saying anything against going somewhere and learning to communicate better. I'm not saying anything against paying to learn some things that'll help you communicate. I'm saying we can't complicate this thing. And God is the ultimate communicator of the universe. He created us in His image. You and I were created to communicate. And yet there's something wrong, even in marriage, in the area many times of communication. And the simplicity of communicating. And so I'm going to make this as simple as possible. Please don't overlook it because of the simplicity of it. And receive the simplicity of it and begin to walk in some simple things that make you effective in communicating. Every part of your life is affected by communication. Your marriage with your spouse, communication affects it. How about your kids? And man, communication is vital between you and your kids. And I don't believe in generational gaps. I think that's a lie of the devil that one generation can't communicate with the next. That is just foolishness. Amen or oh me. We can communicate with our kids, and we might not have the same vernacular or hip-hop talk that they may have, but we can communicate, and we shouldn't receive all these lies that we can't. How many of you know you can't be successful in your vocation if you can't communicate? If you can't receive communication and operate in some communication skills, you're not going to prosper in your vocation, your marriage, your child rearing, and so this is vital. It's vital to a church, to a church. Most of the issues that break down, it boils down to a lack of communication, even in a church. So this will help everybody. So let's talk about four elements in effective communication. And again, these, I guarantee you, is the heart of everything else you'll pay thousands of dollars for. It just boils down to these four things, in my humble, honest opinion. Number one, and don't poo-poo this. Is that okay to say that? I'll take that under advisement with Sue, but don't poo-poo this. Number one, talking. Now, people laugh at me when I go, the number one thing in communication is talking. They kind of smirk at me or laugh at me, not knowing. People don't know how to talk. We live in an information revolution, and young people today have less communication skills than their parents that were horrible. You may be on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and texting and Snapchat and all those kind of things, but those are not effective means of communication. We've got a generation coming up, I'm concerned about sincerely, that they think they're communicating with these texts. And how many of you know you can't text your wife when you're upset at her? That will not work. And you can't Facebook her if you have a problem. Some of you are looking at me, really? Yeah, really, dude. You got to learn to talk. You have to learn to articulate your thoughts, articulate your feelings. You've got to learn to talk. And I'm telling you, it's a learned skill. It's a learned skill, and we're going to work on that. Number two is listening. Listening, and I'm telling you, listening is an art. It's a lost art in our culture. I deal with people all the time, and I'm not being mean here, but I am shocked at their inability to listen, inability to focus, inability to shut their minds down and pay attention and want to hear what's being said. and I'll deal with that. But you're never going to be effective in your communicating skills in marriage if you don't know how to listen. And this was a challenge for me. This was a challenge for me. There were many times Sue just wanted to talk. And I'm a guy, and if I keep my courage, I'll deal with some of these guy-girl issues that the culture hates. But, man, I'm a guy, and I'm a pastor. I fix stuff. That's what I do and get a paycheck for. So Sue would start to talk to me about a problem, and I would interrupt her and say, well, let me fix that. If you'd have just done this and hadn't have done that, we wouldn't be here in the first place. That's not good. That's not good. And so I had to learn how to listen. I had to learn how to quit talking. While I had to learn to talk better, I had to also learn how to quit talking. And so we'll deal with listening. And this one's huge. Number three is feedback. Is feedback. This was amazing to me when I began to operate in this, in my marriage, with my children. And now I just do it naturally everywhere I go and in the ministry and with the people I deal with in ministry. But I was so uncomfortable when it came to this issue of feedback. And it felt weird that Sue would talk to me and then I would give her feedback. Or I would talk to her and she would give me feedback and I would just be perplexed with, well, that's not quite what I meant. But had I not got feedback, I would have thought she understood. Had she not got feedback, she would have thought I understood. And many of the problems that cause a marriage to collapse is because there's so many unresolved issues that are piling up, and they're just little things that have piled up for 10 years that even when people come to me, it's hard to unravel all of it with what's wrong. And so you have to learn to operate in a type of feedback and create feedback loops with your children and with your spouse. And then the last one is honesty. Honesty and how to be honest and the price, the costly price of honesty. And learning how to quit lying to one another. I'll deal with this because people lie all the time and they don't. It's just a rhythm in their life of just lying. And there's different kinds of lies and people don't know how to separate all this stuff. And man, it is tough to be honest. And it wasn't until I learned the price of lying that I was willing to pay the price to be honest. Because to be honest, it'll cost you something, but lying will cost you everything. And so we'll deal with that. All right, let's talk about talking. Talking. Now, this is my definition, and I did check it out with the dictionary, and I was close. So this is my definition of talking, okay? Talking is verbal sharing of your thoughts and your feelings in a known tongue. I thought y'all would appreciate the known tongue better, but anyway, talking is verbally or verbal sharing of my thoughts and my feelings of my heart in a known, discernible tongue. You'd be surprised how many marriages collapse because people aren't talking. I remember my own, and boy, I didn't want to go there. That just came to me. But I remember my own upbringing. I didn't see my parents hardly ever talk, but boy, Dad could rattle the glass and Mom would go get the tea and fill the glass up. I was married about 6 months and I rattled the tea and after I wore it all over my clothes, I learned this rattling the tea glass and the ice is not talking and it's not communicating. So talking is verbal. It's verbal sharing of my thoughts and my feelings, my heart. In a known tongue. Look at Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Think about that for a minute. Let no corrupt word, King James is communication. This is New King James. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Why wouldn't that apply to marriage and the marriage relationship that I don't need to let corrupt communication come out in my relationship with Sue and hurt or harm her unnecessarily, but I need to be seeking edification. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. I've had people try to tell me what grieves the Holy Spirit, and they come up with all kinds of things that aren't in the Bible, accuse me of grieving the Holy Spirit for different reasons, but here's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Wrath, grieves the Holy Spirit. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit. Clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or intent. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, we read those things, we talk about them in church, but what about between our spouses? I need at least a nod to God on this one. You don't need to be angry with your spouse. You don't need to say evil things to one another. You don't need to let corrupt communication. And just because you're married and you have a covenant, that is no excuse now to verbally abuse someone else in your life. Venting and shouting in anger is not right. Now, venting sometimes is okay. There's times we don't have anybody else to talk to about something. It's okay. And I had to learn just to let Sue vent. Let her talk. Just let her get it out. Amen. And just, this is where I got my Dwayneism of nod your head and act spiritual. I just, Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah, okay. Okay. And then when she was through, it was over. It's like, praise God, that's over. Amen. I didn't have to fix anything. I didn't have to correct her. So there are times of venting. You just got to get something out that's bothering you. But there's never a time for shouting at each other and being angry or verbal abuse. Just abuse one another with words. There's no cause for that. There's no place for that in the marriage relationship. I tell you, I've had people in my office that the way they talk to one another in front of me is just terrible. They wouldn't talk to their dog like that. And it's like a drive-by shooting with the tongue versus a drive-by shooting with a gun. It's like a drive-by shooting. They weren't talking. They weren't communicating. They were assaulting each other. They were trying to hurt and inflict pain on each other. That is not good. That is not right. And we don't have to go there as the people of God. Verbal counterpunching. That's my own phrase there. But I've done enough counseling that I've watched people. And it was a 10-round bout. They weren't communicating. They weren't talking. Each one of them would say something. And the other one wasn't even listening to what was being said and trying to process it. They were preparing their comeback. And the minute the person either quit speaking or ran out of breath, the other one, bam, had the comeback. Isn't even listening or paying attention. But while she's talking, oh, hurry up and shut up, honey. I can't wait. I got to come back to that. That is not talking. That's not communicating. And yet it goes on too much. Now, nonverbal communication, I don't want to go here. Now, listen to me. All the staff and all of our locations, we've done a huge amount of training on communication skills, emotional intelligence, situational leadership techniques, and how to read a room, how to read people. But we need to be very careful with this nonverbal communication and judging people after nonverbal communication. Not everybody with their arms crossed is mad. And you'll learn if you're a good communicator, and if you have children especially, you'll learn nonverbal communication is different between each child. Just because somebody gets silent doesn't mean they're mad. I learned this from Shekinah. Shekinah was one of my children that just loved to talk. And I could pick her up from school, and it's a 22-minute drive. And all I needed was 10 seconds, and I got to talk for 10 seconds. And I would say, how was your day? And for 21 minutes and 50 seconds, she'd get after it. And I just nodded my head and act spiritual. She was in the back seat with one of the members' son. And you have to go through this golf course kind of park now to get to my house. And we were driving through there. And there's deer out there and other animals, you know, sometimes. So this boy's being, he's 16 years old. He's a boy. And so he's looking for deer. And she kind of is in the back seat. And she's talking to him just 100 miles an hour. And she took his face and turned it and said, look at me when I'm talking to you. I cracked up and said, boy, you better learn now, because one day it's going to matter that you look at her. You can't be talking to your wife or your wife talking to you and you go, hold it, hold it, hold it. Touchdown. Hallelujah. What was that now, baby? We're about to go under in what area? Kids are on what? You better look at her when she's talking to you. So I got Shekinah in the car, and she's, look at me when I'm talking to you. And I'm going, I can't look at you when I'm talking, or we're both going to end up in heaven. I got to look at the road. So she overcame that. And so I would do my best to look at her, and look, and then look at her. And one day coming home, she goes, are you mad at me? And I went, no, I'm not mad at you. Well, you look mad. I'm not mad. Yeah, but you look mad. I am not mad. I got mad about her calling me and judging me as mad. Just because a spouse goes silent for a moment doesn't mean they're angry. They could be processing. They could be confused. I mean, when I'm really thinking, I figured it out from Shekinah. When I'm really thinking, I look angry. I look serious. I look mad. And I have to be aware of that even in other situations that I don't come across with nonverbal communication like I'm mad. The point is, we got to be careful, though, not to judge people by nonverbal communication, because it's hard enough figuring each other out with verbal communication. Don't be judging your spouse on nonverbal communication. Sue is just quiet. But there were times, I mean, a cold war set in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's cold in here. I don't know what's wrong, but it's 20 below and it's 90 degrees outside. And you just know something's wrong, but you got to be so careful. And I had to learn so much to make sure I don't prejudge, but fish a little bit. Is it okay? Have I done something? I mean, you know you're in trouble when there's nothing being said. It's time for bed. She marches off into the bedroom. You ever notice when you get in bed and there's a problem, you can feel the sheets being pulled away from you? That's nonverbal communication. Like, okay, she's cold. But man, I've been in situations where it would have been easier to get into Fort Knox than to get into those sheets. Wraps herself up in the sheets. Come on, somebody else does this. I know somebody does it. I can't be the only one married to somebody wrapping himself up in the sheets and you're thinking, I'm going to Fort Knox. I can get in there better and quicker than I can get into those sheets. Well, that'll hit the rest of you later. All right, so we have to learn to talk. We do learn nonverbal communication after time with each other, but I can't judge other people's nonverbal communication by Sue's, is what I was trying to say. And I learned with all my children, some of the nonverbal communication was different. And so it took time to learn that. So I just want to caution everybody, be careful. I'll be honest. I've had so many people come after me and be mean to me. I've had people jump up in the middle of a service and cuss me out, going out the door. I mean, bad stuff. And so it's hard when somebody gets up and is kind of stomping out. It's hard not to let my mind go to they're mad at me. And yet, I know of a fact of a man that jumped out one time in a service, ran out the door, and my first thought was negative, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Come to find out, he was a medic, and he got a call. It was an emergency, and he had to leave. Now, what if I'd have, through nonverbal communication, judged that man and accused him of being angry at me, walking out on my... Are you getting my point? We got to be very careful with nonverbal communication. Now, if your wife is smashing dishes, something's wrong. If your husband has put his fist through the sheetrock in three rooms, that's nonverbal. I think we have a problem. So some things are pretty clear. Others, not so. So be careful there. All right, listening. Listening, this is a lost art. We have to learn to listen. We develop in listening. This is something I didn't know about myself that marriage helped me with. I had to learn to listen to Sue. And then when I started having kids, I had to develop and learn to listen to them and how they speak and how they communicate. We all use the same words maybe or vernacular. We all speak English perhaps even in my orbit. But that doesn't mean when someone says this, they mean the same thing when someone else says the same thing. And so you do have to learn to listen and learn to be benevolent and kind in listening. There are two components in listening, and this is huge. This is huge. Two major components in developing your skill to hear, to listen to what someone is saying. Number one is choice. You will never hear somebody till you choose to hear them. And Jesus teaches us this. Jesus in the kingdom and in our relationship with God teaches us this. And if there's anything I could get over to all of our locations and all of our couples and all of our leaders is that the things in the Bible are not just for church. And the things Jesus taught us about the kingdom of God don't just apply to the kingdom. They apply to our everyday life. That's what makes the Bible so awesome to us as we immerse ourselves in it on a regular basis. In Mark chapter 4, verse 9, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." See, let is a choice. And if you don't, for instance, if you don't choose to hear God, you won't. If you don't choose to humble yourself and submit unto God, you're not going to hear Him. He's speaking, but you won't hear. You've got to choose to seek God. You've got to choose to hear God. You've got to choose to get still. And I have found that you have to choose to hear somebody or you really won't hear them. You will misunderstand them, misjudge them, and your relationship will be strained. Jesus said this in multiple places in the book of Revelation chapter 12. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So we have to choose to hear. I was in a restaurant years ago. These are two different stories. Sometimes I get them mixed up in my mind, but the conversation at my table was not very interesting. And the conversation at the table next to me was more interesting. But see, I couldn't hear the conversation at the table beside me till I chose to hear. See, your brain was designed by God to wipe out stimuli. Your brain literally is designed, your two hemispheres of your brain, your frontal and back lobe or lobal part of your brain is designed by God to operate and function in this world. And if your brain couldn't wipe out stimuli, you'd lose your mind. And if we got quiet right now and real still, you would hear the AC units. The minute you choose to hear them, you hear them. But nobody heard it till I said it, and then you chose to hear it. So I'm eavesdropping into a conversation at another table, and they're running a preacher down. And man, this was interesting. Until I found out it was me. They didn't know me from Adam. And they're just running me down, and I'm this, and I'm that. And before they got through, I didn't like me. Amen. Once I chose to listen to them, I actually heard things in the kitchen I wasn't hearing. I heard dishes smashing and crashing and realizing why my bill now is so high. You can get in an elevator, and if your mind is on something else, you won't hear the muzak. But if you stop for a minute to listen, you'll hear the muzak. So listening begins with a choice. And if I don't choose to hear Sue, if I don't choose to hear what she's trying to say, if I don't choose to hear what she's trying to feel, I'm not going to hear it. And I'm not going to have a healthy marriage. If I don't choose to hear what my kids are saying and listen instead of doing all the talking. I've already talked to them. I've already told them what I want. I've already told them what to do and not do. Now I need to listen. And I have to choose to hear what they're really trying to say. And you won't hear until you do that. All right, the second element, component of a skillful listener is understanding. Remember the goal, and I'll repeat this probably in our next session, but the goal when Sue and I have a problem is not me win, her lose. The goal isn't who's right or wrong and I want to win the fight. The goal is understanding and finding unity now in harmony so the power of God will continue to work in our life. So my goal is to understand. Mark chapter 4 verse 9 again. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We can understand God, and we've been born again, and now we have ears to hear. But we can understand each other now with God's help. If we seek understanding. And this has been hard on me at times. It's just been, you got the male-female thing going a lot of times. And the whole culture wants to resist all of these differences we have. And yet I can just tell you, raising two boys and raising two girls, man, the boys in some cases were a breeze. Just, I get it. The girls, tell me again. Okay, tell me again. Okay. Tell me again. I mean, there were times I just couldn't get it. I didn't understand what they were trying to communicate, but I endured sometimes waterboarding. I mean, let's move on. You. When your daughters hit that dating age, and they think they love somebody, welcome to waterboarding. They're like, no, slow down. I don't think so. But I love him. Nah, not really. Yeah, but you don't understand. That's correct. Help me again. Tell me what love is. Tell me why you love him. Tell me what you love about him. Tell me what you even know about him. Tell me what God's definition of love is. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to pull out the Geneva Convention rules of engagement. All right. You can't hear if you're angry, hurt, or defensive. And I want you to listen to me, dear ones. I'm not just trying to help you in marriage. This will revolutionize your marriage. I'm trying to help you in life. You can't hear what someone's saying if you are angry, if you're hurt, or defensive. The minute you get defensive, you shut off and shut down in your brain the ability to understand what someone is saying. You mess up your ability to hear. And love me through this. Help me. I need a hug. Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with people and I knew what I said, I knew what I meant, but they couldn't hear it. I'd ask for feedback and they would say, you're this and that. No, let's try this again. But they were so hurt, they had defense mechanisms built up that they truly could not hear what's being said. I've counseled hundreds of married couples, and I can't tell how many times and how many hours I've sat in counseling sessions where he would say this, but she would hear something totally different. She would say this, but he would hear something totally different. And it's because they were hurt and angry at each other and defensive, and you can't hear until you deal with that. I've seen in ministry, people did not hear me clear and are angry at me now because of what I said. Then when I ask them, what did I say? It amazes me. Well, that is not what I even said, and I certainly didn't mean that. And I'm looking them right in the eye and saying, before God Almighty, I didn't mean it that way. They will not listen. They will not even hear my apology. Why, you can't hear if you carry hurt and anger and defensiveness in your heart. And this is why so many good marriages collapse, is there's this undertow of anger, this undertow of hurt, and defensiveness. And until we deal with that, you can't open your heart up to hear. Because you hear in here, not with this. You got to hear in here. And when this gets messed up with hurt and pain and anger, you can't hear clear. Look at this, and this is awesome. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Here's the saying again. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and... So see, when you have an ear to hear, you understand. Now watch this. This is incredible. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That means when Sue and I aren't communicating and we're not understanding each other, if we let something get in our heart, we're not even at a standstill. We're going backwards. Amen. The goal in any kind of issue with Sue and I is to understand. That I want to, I don't even have to agree to understand. Uh-oh. Am I the only one hearing bells? Thank you, Lord. Are you paying attention? Angels are excited, I guess. I'm hearing bells ringing. Where was I before I got on track? Listening, hearing, understanding. That until I deal with any kind of offense in my heart towards Sue, we're not going to be able to go forward. Or her offense toward me, we're not going to be able to go forward. And so the goal, I know what it was. The goal is to understand, not necessarily agree. There are things that Sue and I still don't agree on, but we understand where each other stand. And we're okay with that. Amen. And I know that just rocks people's world. Well, we just got to agree on everything. Welcome to divorce court. You are never going to agree on everything if you're honest. And if you're real, there's things I don't like. And I don't like them. And there isn't anything Sue can do about it to make me like it. I don't like green things. And if she even promised me I could live 10 years longer if I'd eat all them green things, I would just tell her I can't wait to get to heaven 10 years earlier. It's beautiful there. Amen. And she's just got to understand, not agree with me. I'm serious about this. This is huge. It's simple, but it is huge. All right, what was said? When you're listening, you're looking for, okay, what was said? Now look at this, though. What was meant? And then what was heard? Remember Jesus said, now watch this, this is huge. Oh, my time is getting away from me. This is so important. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. We think he's talking about listening to that philosopher or listening to this teacher or listening to that false prophet. Take heed what you hear. No, I'm telling you, he's talking to us right now. Take heed what you hear, because many times you don't hear what was said. So you better take heed what you hear. Did it connect to anybody? I can't tell you. Sue and I have just learned to have fun. Life's too short to be mad, mean, or ugly. So we just have fun. And I can't tell you how many times I step in it. And I'll say something, and I mean it as a compliment. I mean it as a sowing a good seed. And it will be the dumbest or most absurd thing you could say to a woman. And we just look at each other and we start laughing, and I go to crawfishing real quick. Now, I know what I said, but that ain't what I meant. I'm not sure what you heard, but here's what I meant. You know, does this dress make me look fat? Don't ask me stuff like that. No, eating too much makes you look fat. I think I smell poo. I think I stepped in it there. I'm just trying to say, you know what you say, you know what you mean, but you don't always know what people hear. Man, you look great in that dress today. You know what some people hear? Well, did I look bad in my dress yesterday? No, I didn't even know you yesterday. Come on, I'm serious. I can't tell you how many times between here and that back door, I make a mistake. And I don't mean how it came out. I don't mean how you heard it. But man, it's good to finally see you in church. I didn't mean you don't come. I mean we have all these multiple services and I've not got to see you. But see how that comes out? Man, it's good to see you in church. Well, does he think I don't attend here? I've been tithing more than anybody in this church, and he had no, I'm not here. Am I communicating? What was said? What was meant? Because I can't tell many times. I know what I said. I know what I meant. But I'm certain it wasn't heard that way. And you have to learn to work through that and be merciful to each other. And again, we have fun with it now. I mean, it's like I say the dumbest thing sometimes. Some dyslexic thing will kick in. And she could take offense at it, but she just starts laughing. And I went, uh-oh, I didn't mean it. You know, all right, that'll help somebody. All right, example, how many of you ever looked at your kids and said, didn't you hear me? Did you hear me, boy? What do we mean when we say, did you hear me? They heard us. They looked right at us. We spoke words. It downloaded into their ears and into their intricals. So what do we mean when we say, did you hear me? Do you understand? You're heading out the door. They're playing a game. Jeremy, make sure you mow the grass today. Yeah, Dad, it's done deal. Don't worry about it. You come home, grass is 3 foot taller. You go into the bedroom, what happened? What do you mean what happened? Well, you didn't do what I told you to do. What did you tell me to do? Well, I told you to mow the grass. Oh, Dad, I'm sorry. I thought you said never smoke grass. And I was just saying, you bet, Dad, you bet. I'm not gonna move to Colorado. Let it go. Let it go, Woodland Park. I got to quit. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. Look, Satan hinders fruitfulness with a lack of understanding. Now watch what Jesus said in Matthew 13, 19. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. Now we read that and we think just God's word. And when God's word is spoken and you don't understand it, that's how the devil steals it, right? God spoke to me and said, when I don't understand Sue's words, the devil steals them out of my heart and our relationship becomes unfruitful. I've got to understand. And if I don't understand, I've got to keep asking. I've got to develop these feedback loops. I don't know where the time went, but we ran out of it. But we have to learn to dwell together according to knowledge. We need an intelligent recognition of the marriage relationship. And the most precious person in your life is your spouse. Let's learn to talk better and to let no evil communication proceed out of our mouth. Let's learn to listen and try to understand what's being said. Not agree, not like it even. I've got no problem if you're telling me what you're really feeling and I don't like it. As long as I understand you're feeling it, I've accomplished what God wants me to accomplish. And now we can continue our relationship without strife. And it just saddens me. I just see so much unnecessary collapse of marriages, unnecessary collapse in the workplace, unnecessary collapse in churches. Because people don't know how to communicate. They say things they don't mean. You don't ask them what they mean. You run with it, you go behind their back now, and you say, you know what they said to me? You see how all this the devil just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We just need to learn how to communicate better. Amen? Amen. Anybody get anything? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for these precious people. I didn't get very far, but I'd rather go slow and do it right than go too fast. And so just help me to communicate a little better, clearer, simplify. You said in Corinthians 11 that you feared for people that, like Satan beguiled Eve, our minds could be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus. Lord, I thank you that this stuff is simple. Help us to embrace it and walk in the light of it by your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.